Welcome to another segment of the Agricultural Market Viewpoint. This is a podcast where we reflect on various themes influencing the agricultural economy here at home in South Africa and beyond our borders. Folks, we spent the past few weeks reflecting on field crops growing conditions in South Africa. We've discussed the dryness and the heat wave impact on summer crops and the poor yields that are expected. We've also talked about the farmers' readiness for the winter crop season, which starts at the end of this month. But this week, I want us to step back and look at another important subsector of the South African agricultural economy, and that is the livestock. It is important because if you think about the South African farming sector, specifically focusing on a gross value added, nearly half of our farm economy is livestock and poultry. So what happens in the livestock or the poultry sector in a way influences the performance of the sector in a more significant way. And over the past 2 years, there's been two challenges that have stood out when one looks at the subsector of our farm economy. One is the rise in animal diseases, and two is the higher feed cost. The animal diseases affected majority of the farmers. In the cattle industry, the struggle was the foot and mouth disease. If you were a pig farmer, the struggle was the African swine fever. For poultry farmers, the avian influenza was a big issue. And in fact, late last year, we recorded a few segments where we were reflecting on avian influenza. And if you scroll back on this podcast library, you will see some of those segments. The other challenge that confronted this subsector for our farming economy is the higher feed costs, higher maize prices, higher soybean prices. And one then can ask a question and say, why were they struggling with the higher feed costs when over the past three seasons, we've had some of the excellent grain and the oilseeds harvest? And the big story is the fact that, of course, as South Africa, we are a small open economy and our farming sector is interlinked with the global factors. And in the grains and the oil seeds, the major drivers of the prices over the past 2 to 3 years was, one, China buying a lot of grains and the oil seeds and pushing up the global demand, and we saw that being reflected in South Africa. Another factor was, of course, late 2022, Russia-Ukraine war is something that has also pushed up prices. Higher energy prices and the shipping costs during COVID was another factor. There was also a drought in South America, Brazil and Argentina, which are important countries when you're thinking about the production of soybeans and the production of maize in the world. So all of those factors combined were among some of the things that have pushed up commodity prices, and the poultry, livestock farmers had to contend with these higher input costs. But I think the animal disease issue, particularly in the red meat industry and wool, it had a far more reaching effects. For example, we are an industry that is trying to promote the exports. And when the foot and mouth disease was detected, a number of markets closed out on South Africa. And even domestically, there were a couple of regulations that were put in place limiting the auctions, limiting the movements of animals in certain periods. And all of this influenced then the commerce within the business and the trading activity. And in fact, if you were to think about the exports in 2022 of red meat, particularly beef, we saw beef exports in South Africa falling by 16% year on year in 2022, reaching around about 26,000 tons. And in fact, this was below the five-year average of the previous years of that. If you were to think back, say, 2017 to 2021, and you average the beef exports of those period, we were well below that with these exports of 2022. And that decline in exports, fortunately, was somewhat temporary, because as South African farmers began to put measures in place to control the spread of the diseases, the government assisting and coming into the table to enhance the measures that were in place to control the spread of the diseases, re-engaging with other countries that have blocked our exports, we saw that in 2023, beef exports in South Africa started to recover. They were up 3% at around about 27,675 tons. That's what we saw. 27,000 tons. It's a fairly nice recovery. Although even that, if you were to compare it with the few years before that, it was still lower. But it was a bit of a recovery to say, okay, we've seen the difficulties, but we are in a recovery path. Because, I mean, point be made is that if you were to average and say 2017 to 2021, those were the excellent years. Because at that time, our beef exports averaged 31,000 tons. That was a good number. So and in fact, if you were to take that and you compared with 5 years before that, or at the early 2000s, where we were even lower than 15,000 tons. So we have actually been on a rise of saying we are building the export markets as South Africa. So the animal diseases were threatening that. Because in the early 2000s, South Africa was not a big player in the beef exports. The exports were less than 15,000 tons. So by the time we get to 2017, 2020, we had doubled those volumes that we saw in the early 2000s, really in that growth. And this was a nicely diversified product. Because if you look at that beef and say, okay, fine, you are exporting beef. Is it frozen? Is it fresh? About 49% of it is fresh beef. 51% was a frozen beef. And it was diversified even in terms of the markets. Because for fresh beef, we saw good volumes going to Kuwait, Jordan, United Arab Emirates, Mozambique, Lesotho, Qatar, Zimbabwe, Mauritius, the Netherlands were some of those markets. And for frozen beef, Lesotho was still one of those markets, Mozambique, China, United Arab Emirates, Jordan, Egypt, Netherlands, Qatar, Hong Kong, Kuwait. Those markets were taking both fresh as well as the frozen beef market. So we're really building up on the momentum on that. So the animal diseases were disrupting this. But I think the fortunate part that we have is the fact that even in 2022, when we are affected by these animal diseases, our exports did not collapse. 26,000 tons. Even in 2022, when these animal diseases were strong, it's still a significant number if you compare with the early 2000s, where we were less than 15,000 tons. So, but the point is, that was a double-digit decline from years before, and it reflected these difficulties that the industry was facing. But I think financially, at a time when farmers were seeing these exports collapsing, demand domestically weak, it was also when the feed prices were higher. So financially, it has been a very difficult time for folks that are in the red meat industry. And I guess it's the same story even if you were in poultry, because you were dealing with these higher feed prices. But this challenge was not limited only to red meat. I mean, the disease was in cattle, foot and mouth disease. But if you are talking to wool farmers in the sheep industry, they were also affected, because when China heard, for example, China heard that South Africa is a foot and mouth disease, they instantly began placing a temporary ban on South Africa's wool imports. And China is not just any other country. It's a very important market when you're thinking about the global wool exports. And in South Africa, more than two-thirds of our wool exports go to China. And now when you are facing a temporary closure in the Chinese market, that puts you in a very difficult position. And sometime in 2022 and sometime in 2023, we did face those glitches in the Chinese market. And in fact, in 2022, South Africa's wool exports fell to just over 42,000 tons. They were down 19% year on year. That's the time when China was closed. But fortunately, there is a protocol that exists between South Africa and China to say, hey, look, when there are all of these animal diseases, we can still do a trade of wool, but it needs to be handled in a particular way. And South Africa reactivated that with China, and we saw the exports in 2023 resuming. And in fact, in 2023, we were almost back at the levels that we were in, because the exports of wool in 2023 recovered by 18% to around about 49,715 tons. The year before that, before the fall, the exports were around this level. So declined by 19%, recovered 18%. We're almost there to the pre-foot and mouth disease levels. And I think that next year, maybe, or this year, 2024, we could see China continuing to buy more of our wool, and we could see the volume increasing. But there's certainly something to be said to say, yes, China is a major buyer of food, but we have to figure out ways of saying, can we diversify? Can we go to other markets and try and make sure that when there are issues in China, at least there could be revenue that could be that we could get in other places? So those are some of the dynamics that we are currently thinking about now. But I think the other important part of the animal or livestock industry in South Africa in general is because we are a country that has a difficult history and we're still thinking about inclusion in the sector. By inclusion, I mean black farmers also getting and participating at a commercial level. And if you were to look at the farming sector, this is the one subsector that has done so much on promoting that inclusion. I mean, if you look at the data coming out of the National Agricultural Marketing Council, they say, hey, look, for wool farming, 18% is black farmers at a commercial level. Mohair, 13% is black farmers. Cattle production, 34% is in black farmers. So this is a sector where inclusion is there. And these are people that are still at the entry, at a starting level of the sector. So when they are facing these difficulties in exports, they're facing higher feed costs. These are aspects that really put a lot of pressure on their businesses. But I think the broader view beyond that is that South Africa is at a position now where we are building the export markets to ensure that the beef industry accesses new markets. We've talked at some point about Saudi Arabia and China, which are some of the markets that have recently opened on a beef industry. Saudi Arabia being very exciting because it's a big market. They import about $2 billion worth of meat a year. And if South Africa can get a slice of that, as we already have access, is an important thing. So we are building and saying, okay, can we continue to export? And I think strengthening the animal, the biosecurity, and making sure we get a handle of the animal diseases, increasing the volumes, these are some of the aspects that we need to focus on, along with the inclusion of the farmers in this journey of growing the export markets. That is true for red meat, but also for wool. To say inclusion in wool, growing our wool markets, and making sure that we continue to participate in the export markets. But I think my central message for this week is that, yes, this is a subsector that has taken a huge knock over the past 2 years, but the guys are back up on the export path now, where they are saying, look, we are recovering, we are getting up there, we need the government support, we need every role player in the industry coming on board and working with people like RMIS, which is the Red Meat Industry Services, DeWalt and the other guys that are making sure that we are reaching these export markets, working collaboratively with the leadership at the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. So this is the path that the red meat industry and the wool sector are in, of saying they are growing the export market, they are boosting inclusion, and they are out there to make sure that we have a resilient subsector of agriculture. Folks, that's what I wanted to talk about in the segment for this week. As always, I appreciate your support and you listening to this podcast. You can listen to more of what we do under Mkokeli Podcasts. Follow us on social media under those name. And also, you can follow me on social media, on all socials, Wandile Sihlobo. I'm an agricultural economist based in Pretoria, South Africa. And also read more about some of the things that I write. The link to my blog is in the description of this podcast. Thank you for listening.